I want to begin this morning by asking a question. Who here has email? Raise your hand. Who here has email or access to email? About half the congregation has access to or has email in one way or another. Everybody knows about email, though, don't you? You know that it's electronic. It comes to your computer through your internet address, and anybody and everybody who has email knows that they get way too much junk email. You get junk mail in your box, ads and coupons and letters that you didn't solicit from all sorts of people wanting to do business with you, or other people trying to get money out of you that maybe you owe them. I mean, mail is often junk, right? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay, mail is often junk. Sometimes, however, you get some jewels in the email. Now, this came to me this week. And when it begins, you're going to wonder, what does this have to do with the message? What does this have to do with what's going on in the world today? What does this have to do with anything? But I ask that you bear with me to the very end. The bunny and the snake. Once upon a time, in a nice little forest, there lived an orphaned bunny and an orphaned snake. By a surprising coincidence, both were blind from birth. One day, the bunny was hopping through the forest, and the snake was slithering through the forest, when the bunny tripped over the snake and fell down. This, of course, knocked the snake about quite a bit, too. "Oh, my," said the bunny. "I'm terribly sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you. I've been blind since birth, so I can't see where I'm going. In fact, since I'm also an orphan, I don't even know what I am, what kind of creature I am." "It's quite okay," replied the snake. "Actually, my story is much the same as yours. I, too, have been blind since birth, and also never knew my mother. Tell you what, maybe I could slither all over you and work out what kind of creature you are, so at least you'll have that going for you." "Oh, that would be wonderful," replied the bunny. So the snake slithered all over the bunny and said, "Well, you're covered with soft fur. You have really long ears, your nose twitches, and you have a soft, cottony tail. I'd say that you're a bunny rabbit." "Oh, thank you," cried the bunny in obvious excitement. The bunny suggested to the snake, "Maybe I could feel you all over with my paws and help you the same way you've helped me." So the bunny felt the snake all over and then remarked, "Well, you're smooth, you're slimy and slippery, and you have a forked tongue and no backbone. I think you're French." You don't always get what you expect when you come to church, isn't that right? Now, what does that have to do with the message today? With the message in the story that we have about Jesus speaking to his mother in the gospel from the cross, speaking to his mother and giving his mother to John, and John to his mother. What does this have to do with the way of the cross? We see depicted here in these two banners. If you look, you see there's a gap in the back where the way of the cross runs across the back of the sanctuary. And we've done the first stage on the cross, the first step, which was Jesus is condemned. And we've done the second step on the way to the cross, which is Jesus takes up his cross. And today we have Jesus falls the first time, and Jesus meets his blessed mother. We have, in essence, the beginning of the way to the cross. We have, in essence, the beginning of the journey that Jesus makes to the cross. First, in Jesus being condemned, and second, in Jesus taking up his cross and beginning his journey. Just as we heard last Sunday, when we heard that the truth goes to the cross for you and me, that the truth, the real presence of God in this world, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life," the I am the truth, Jesus, went to the cross for you and me, just as we heard last Sunday that God goes to the cross. God is condemned for our sins, and God goes to the cross in Jesus Christ for you and me. So now we hear today that this same I am, this same truth, this same person who is God, Jesus of Nazareth, is also human like you and me. In the church, it's common to hear about the message of Jesus, the Son of God, the Word made flesh. It's common to hear the message about Jesus, divine, healing the sick, walking on water, raising the dead. We're so used to hearing about Jesus, the divine, that sometimes we don't hear the equal message through the gospel that Jesus is also human. And today, from the third and the fourth step on the way to the cross, we hear the message that this Jesus, who is divine, who was condemned and took up his cross to go and die for us, this Jesus, who is divine, who is the way, the truth, and the life, is also human. And we see that in these first two banners. The first banner, if you could put that up there, is Jesus falls the first time. Jesus falls the first time. Now this step is not in the Bible. There are several back there. In fact, there are several banners back there. Jesus falls the first time, Jesus falls the second time, and Jesus falls the third time. Now, none of the falls are in the Gospels, but they reflect a truth that we know and proclaim, that Jesus was whipped, Jesus was bruised for our iniquities, Jesus was beaten up by the Romans and whipped by Pilate himself to be made ready to go to the cross. And in that bruising, in that whipping, he suffered greatly. Indeed, he suffered and bled greatly even from that, before they even ever nailed him up. He was definitely human, my friends. And so on the way to the cross, the stories go that he slipped and stumbled and fell. And the first time he did that, they gave his cross over to an assistant who we'll hear about next week, named Simon, to carry it for him so that he wouldn't have to carry it himself. Now, we'll hear about that next week, our responsibility to help carry the cross that Christ carries for us. But this week, we're looking at his humanity, and the first recognition of his humanity is that it's real. It's not just a hologram. It's not fake. He wasn't playing as if he was human. He wasn't pretending to be human. He wasn't saying, "I think I'll let people believe that I'm actually human, but I'm really not human." No. Jesus was really and truly human. Just as he was really and truly God, he was also really human. We sometimes want to skip over that, but we dare not do that. Jesus was really human. And we can see that in the scriptures in many places. When he's thirsty and hungry and famished, out in the wilderness, being tempted by the devil. When he is sad and cries at the death of Lazarus and at the failure of his friends there in Bethany to believe, to truly believe that Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead. In his laughter, in his rejoicing, and in his crying tears of blood, he truly is human. And we see his humanity reflected in the fourth step to the cross. You can put that up there. Jesus meets his blessed mother. He meets his mother on the way to the cross in this depiction. And in the scripture, while he's on the cross, he says to his mother, "Behold your son." Then he says to the beloved disciple, "Behold your mother." As any loving, caring, compassionate son would do, he gives his mother to be cared for by one of his very best friends. He gives his widowed mother to be cared for by one of his very best friends, John, the beloved disciple. He had concern and care for his earthly mother. He had concern and care for his disciples. He has concern and care as our brother for us too, my friends. He is fully human, and that scripture reflects that and reflects the truth that we have heard throughout the Gospels, that Jesus is fully human. The third step on the way of the cross reflects that too, in that speculation that the church has been through many times, that Jesus stumbled three times on his way. The first time will occasion next week a disciple picking up the cross and following with Jesus. And each step on the way, each stumble on the way, my friends, is the calling for us to recognize his humanity equal with his divinity, his humanity as true as his divinity, his humanity as a connection with our humanity, and our opportunity then also to step in and share with his humanity in his suffering and indeed in his death. In the season of Lent, as we prepare to see Jesus in glory, if you haven't done it, step out those doors after services today. Turn around and look up at the wall, the other side of this wall here. Dina has prepared a banner. It's a beautiful banner of Christ in resurrected glory. And if we wish to see him in his resurrected glory, if we wish to see him in all the glorious majesty of divinity and humanity perfected in resurrection glory on Easter Sunday morning, then we must now be willing to recognize our participation in his trial, his conviction, his way to the cross, the deriding of the soldiers, the mocking of the people and the chief priests and the elders, and his crucifixion and his death. To see him raised, we must first participate in his death. To experience the truth and the glory of his resurrection, we must first experience the pain and the anguish of his death on the cross, recognizing that from his death we have victory. From his death we have eternal life. From his death we have the forgiveness of our sins. We have the precious blood of the Lamb poured out from the cross covering our sins. And in his death we have the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of our eternal life. We need never face or fear eternal death because Christ died for us. As he begins his journey on the way to the cross, as we stumble, we can know that Christ stumbled. As Christ depended upon a disciple to shoulder the cross, so we are called to shoulder our fellow disciples' crosses. We are called to shoulder our own cross and travel up Golgotha's hill. And as he expressed his love and concern for his mother, so also we are called to express our love and concern for the mothers and fathers that God has given us, for the sisters and brothers that God has given us, for this family of faith that God has given us to strengthen us and uphold us as we walk as human beings through this life, facing trials and tribulations and temptations, knowing that Jesus faced them for us and defeated them for us so that we have nothing to fear. Things aren't always as they appear on the surface. As that joke went, "Sure, looks like a snake, but you're really French. No backbone, forked tongue, slithery and slimy. Can't trust them." If you're French, please know that's a joke. I actually have a little bit of French in me. Mostly Scottish, mostly English, mostly German, but blood or drop or two of French. Just as it's not always what it appears to be on the outside in that story about the bunny rabbit and the snake, so also, it's not always what it appears to be on the outside when it comes to the gospel. Jesus is fully divine. He is the truth, the I Am. Indeed, he is God incarnate in human flesh. But the human flesh in which he was incarnate is human. And in his humanity, because of his divinity, he defeated the temptations and the stumblings and the fears that we face. And because he defeated them, we too can be victorious in Jesus. Can I hear an amen? My brothers and sisters, as we travel down the way of the cross, as we see our participation in his death, that he died for our sins, for you and for me, for every sin we have ever committed, for every sin we will commit, as we see our participation in his death, let us recognize that because of his humanity and divinity, because of the humanity and divinity of the truth, the I Am of God incarnate in flesh, because of his humanity and divinity, we have victory, my friends, and we have eternal life. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.